Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And Jeremy, today we've been monitoring what's arguably the story of the week, the calls to take down Confederate flags. And today, Alabama Governor Robert Bentley ordered the one over his state capitol taken down. So that story continues today.
And it's the conversation of the country, including right here in Texas, where there are a lot of monuments, not just the Confederate flag, but a lot of monuments to Confederate symbols and Confederate mm-hmm. leaders. So that is certainly in the talk here in Houston. But we're also getting some news on the housing market today, Robin. A report out today from Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies finds home ownership is at the lowest level in 25 years, just about 63%. But we are getting some hopeful signs. According to reports out this week, new and existing home sales in May jumped by more than economists expected. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us from Chicago. Diane, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So if you take all of that data that we're getting, what do you make of it? What does the housing market look like right now?
Well, what we're seeing is finally first-time buyers are beginning to dip their toe back into the market and show that, in fact, millennials don't just want to live in only urban areas and small apartments. They actually want to own a home. They're forming families and having babies and forming households. And so that's showing up in increased demand for housing, particularly for first-time buyers, entry-level housing. The problem is we have very little supply. So almost all of the increase in demand we're seeing is a little bit in sales, a little bit in construction, a lot in price. It's one of the reasons why everything from home prices are picking up, you're seeing bidding wars, and rents are picking up quite dramatically.
So does that mean it is time now for the people who build homes to start building a lot more homes, that we're ready for more inventory to come onto the market?
We are very ready for more inventory to come into the market. What we've seen is an unusual persistence of home builders building and chasing affluent buyers really late into the cycle. They usually start out with affluent buyers, and then they move to greenfield sites and build a lot more affordable housing for first-time buyers. The problem is there's a lot more challenges on their margins to build affordable housing for first-time buyers in greenfield sites. Also, up until recently, gas prices were a real factor. Nobody wanted to commute further. And so it was easier to build, you know, in urban areas than it was to build out further. So we've got a lot of changing issues. But one of the issues for builders is, even though we've finally seen the premium start to come in a bit of new homes versus existing homes, it's still very high. And that's because they're having a hard time getting over the threshold of how much it costs to build a home right now.
And for years now, ever since the financial crisis, really, we've had these historically low interest rates. You can get a 30-year fixed mortgage for under 4% still in some places. How long is that going to last? Because we are expecting the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates soon, and mortgage rates should follow.
This is exactly right. What we're hoping is, contrary to 2 years ago when we had what was called a taper tantrum and rates jumped up and we saw basically the housing market collapse in response to that, we're hoping that because we're finally seeing that household formation pick up and entry-level wages, new college grads in particular, finally getting jobs and not just having to sit on their parents' couches, that has really shifted the game a bit, and hopefully we can endure an increase in rates. And we're talking about the Fed would like to see a very small increase in long-term rates. Whether or not they can achieve that is another question. And the last thing the Fed wants to do is to derail the one part of the economy we've been waiting to recover, the housing market.
Well, do you think that the housing market will be able to, as you say, endure when rates go up?
They are, because we're going to see some increases finally in incomes. And I think that's the most important and the one thing we've been all holding our breath for. Not as much as I'd like in terms of increases in incomes, but finally, especially entry-level people graduating out of college, starting to build those new households, graduate students that had to pay off debt, now finally in a position that they can actually afford to buy a home again. On the flip side of it, I also think higher rates will slow down the pace of housing appreciation. And that'll actually help, because we've had such rapid appreciation because of the short supply, there are people sort of chasing the price now. We're also, because we've had some appreciation, we're finally bringing people who were reluctant to list their home because they were still underwater, they couldn't cover their costs. They're finally willing to list their homes again. And I think we're really priming the pipeline for a much bigger surge in activity next year, but less in price, because the higher interest rates will slow down price appreciation.
Where is the housing market still just not doing well at all? And why is it not doing well?
Well, you know, we're still seeing, although first-time buyers are coming back, they're not in the kind of ranks they once were. And what we're still seeing is, you know, places where the supply is really tight and prices are really appreciated is, ironically, many of the places that were hit hardest by the subprime, bursting the subprime bubble.
Places like where?
Like California, right outside of San Francisco. San Francisco, very hot market. Outside of San Francisco, still kind of mixed. You're seeing places where they're not able to still build because it's very expensive to build. And everything's showing up in price, but people aren't able to get the housing they want. Also, you know, there's sort of mixed things. The New York market, very, very strong market, yet it doesn't have, for some good news for those people living there, but it doesn't have foreigners coming in and buying as they once did, like the Russians and the Europeans that once bought. They're not doing as well now and not buying as readily, and that's slowing down that market there as well. So we're seeing some mixed news. The really important issue is you really need to see over half the housing market in terms of construction activity comes from the South. And that's slowed down a bit. And if we don't see a lot more greenfield construction and bigger, affordable construction in the South, we're not going to see the volume of jobs that we really need to see generated by the single-family housing market.
Diane Swank, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, talking with us about the housing market in this country. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.